This is the Mason Vera Payne Show, your go-to lifestyle program, covering everything from technology and gaming, to movies, TV shows, and pop culture, to the supernatural and beyond. Brought to you from Chicago, USA, with your host, the unabridged millennial, Mason Vera Payne.
Mason Payne here, live from the NVP Studios in Chicago, and thank you for tuning in. Google Trends expert Justin Burr is going to join me to break down the top five search trends on Google this week and what the most watched YouTube video was. Thanks for joining me, Justin.
Hey, always a pleasure.
All right, so I got to know, for this week, what was number five?
Number five was Mega Millions, and this is trending for twofold reason. Number one, the jackpot soared to over $300 million this week. They're doing another drawing tonight because nobody has won over the past couple. So if you're listening right now and you're feeling lucky, go buy a lottery ticket. They're doing another Mega Millions drawing tonight, and it's over $300 million. And then it was also trending because that ticket from October, when the Mega Million jackpot spiked to over $1.5 billion, is still unclaimed. So people were searching, like, yo, why is this ticket unclaimed? Who is this person? It was sold in South Carolina, but no one's come forward for $1.5 billion. So kind of ridiculous.
Okay, so I have to know, Justin, how many tickets are you going to buy tonight?
I think I'm going to buy 1,000. No, I'm going to buy one ticket. You know, you got to throw your hat in the ring. It's fun to think about all the things that you're going to do. I do a lot of things. And you know what? I think I'm going to buy a ticket. What are you going to buy?
Well, you know, I'm going to buy one at least. But I know my father, sometimes he'll be like, you know, if I'm going in, I'm going all in. And he'll do
right.
$50, right? Or
$100.
Oh, wow. So what's the max you can see yourself buying tickets for?
I think 50 is basically my max. I'm actually up $50 right now because on my drive back to San Diego from Indianapolis, I went to Vegas, bet $50 on one hand blackjack, and I won.
Ooh.
So I'm up $50. I'm playing with house money right now. Maybe I'll buy $50 worth of lottery tickets.
Yeah, no loss, no foul, right? That would be pretty good.
Yeah.
So what do we get for number four?
Number four, we got Kennedy Center Honors. They just had this big, extravagant event. They were honoring Cher as well as other musical artists. They actually did so. Cher, Philip Glass, Reba McEntire, Wayne Shorter, and then the creators of Hamilton. Obviously, the person on that list that piques my interest is Philip Glass. That guy's the absolute man. I listen to Philip Glass every single day of my life. He's completely incredible, and I'm stoked on him. But yeah, they just do like a big extravagant event honoring people's musical contributions to the world, and they do some performances, and Cher even was moved to tears, apparently, didn't watch. But people were there's a lot of search interest around that to see, you know, what was going on.
I didn't even know that existed.
Wow. Well, then you need to turn to Google to educate yourself.
I do. So how long has this award show been happening? I feel like I'm so out of touch right now.
Well, it's been happening annually since 1978, so quite some time. And it's always held in December. They do it at the Kennedy Center Opera House. And it's pretty sweet. I've watched some. I didn't watch this year. But it's cool. It's definitely cool and unique.
So wait, so people perform? Is this like MTV Awards, but fancier?
Yeah, kind of. And like classier, for sure. And it's not, it's more about the celebration of the arts rather than like creating a cool program. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, okay. See, that's why I didn't watch it. Because I'm all about the drama. Because I need that MTV
wow.
Award. I'm just saying. I'm being real.
Wow, such a millennial.
What'd I get for number three?
Number three, we got the NBA All-Star. That's trending because voting just opened up this past Tuesday. Everybody's going to Google to figure out how they can vote. And if you're not familiar, the NBA All-Star Game is when all the All-Stars from the National Basketball Association get together in February and they play a game. But it's also a little bit different the past couple years. Last year, they started a new format where it wasn't the Eastern versus the Western Conference. It was that they chose two team captains and then they drafted a team based on their interests. So it wasn't based on, you know, whatever conference you're from. And it's pretty fun. Last year's Team LeBron versus Team Steph, which is sweet. But if you're listening and you want to go vote, you can vote with Google Assistant. You can vote on NBA.com. You can vote, I think, up to 10 times a day. And so if you want to get some weird player in there, make sure that you really vote a lot because your vote matters.
So wait, what are you voting for, the team captain?
So you're voting just for players to be included in the All-Star game.
Okay.
And then whoever gets the most amount of votes, the two top players with the most votes, they become the team captains. And then they get to choose from the pool of potential All-Stars to see who's on their team.
Ah, okay. So I'm a little curious. If you're last picked, does that mean you're bad? Like, you know, like when your kids and you're last picked, you're like, oh, no, this means I'm terrible. Is that the same thing in this? Or is the pool that good that it doesn't matter?
Yeah, that is kind of sad. I bet that the player that gets picked last is probably pretty bummed. But it is in an elite group of all-stars. So I think that the pool is that it's that incredible that it doesn't really matter. Even if you're the absolute worst of the all-stars, you're still better than 90% of the league. So it's strong.
What do we get for number two?
Yeah, number two, we had Boxing Day, which is interesting. I think people are trying to figure out what the heck Boxing Day is, but essentially it is a celebration on the day after Christmas, originated in the UK, and there's actually not a ton of clarity around what exactly was the origination behind it and what exactly it is, but it's always the day after Christmas. And one theory hypothesizes that Boxing Day was traditionally a day off for servants after they received a Christmas box from their master. Then they'd go home and celebrate Boxing Day with their servant children, and they'd give them Christmas boxes. So I guess it was the servant holiday after they took care of their masters back in the day.
So you get two Christmases?
Well, I think it was more so like the normal folk celebrated on Christmas, and then the people that couldn't celebrate on Christmas because they were working or something would celebrate the day after. But we don't do it in the United States, except for actually Boxing Day sales near me had an increase in 500% of search interest. So maybe there are it's starting to permeate American society potentially.
But do people still celebrate Boxing Day? Like, or is it just like, oh, we want to know the historical meaning behind it?
People definitely do. Like in the UK, Canada, Australia, New Zealand, they celebrate it. But it sounds like it's more of like a day for sales, kind of like a Black Friday in the United States. Yeah, I know. Consumer culture taken over, not even preserving the historical relevance of the day. But I guess I think the UK still does it as well. I don't really know how, but I think they still celebrate outside of sales.
You know, as a kid, I remember seeing Boxing Day on the calendars, and I always thought, like, you know, Boxing Day, and in parentheses, it will be like Canada. And I thought to myself as a kid, are they going to fight each other? Like, that's excellent.
Right. That's awesome. Everybody gets into the street and just knocks the crap out of everybody. That would be great.
Like, I always imagine they had boxing gloves on and they're just going at it. Like, what's wrong with me?
I mean, that makes a lot of sense. Maybe we should start a Boxing Day. You get to fight one person a year, and that person, you know, they pissed you off in the last 365 days. And then on December 26th, boom, you go glove to glove.
That is so ridiculous, but I think it would work. I want to say it works.
Great. All right, we'll start it off. I'll fight you next December 26th.
You're on. You're on, Justin. Yep. What we get for number one?
Number one is Kwanzaa. So that started on December 26th, not to be confused with Boxing Day. And it lasts until January 1. And it's a celebration in the United States and other nations as well, and they're just honoring African heritage and different African-American culture. And again, goes from December 26th to January 1st, and actually Kwanzaa is Swahili for first, and it signifies the first fruit of the harvest. People turn to Google to understand how they could celebrate and what that holiday actually is.
Do they do something different every day, or is it just like a remembrance?
There's seven core principles to it. Unity, self-determination, collective work, cooperative economics, purpose, creativity, and faith. And I'm not sure any different activities actually coincide, but at the end they do a big feast and they do gift giving. And yeah, I'm sure that on each day they kind of focus on those different core principles of the holiday.
That sounds pretty awesome. For the YouTube video, what did we get for that one?
Dude, it's so scary. It's so scary. It's the Us official trailer. Jordan Peele's new movie after he had a ton of great success with Get Out. And it's terrifying. It's like a horror movie. It's going to be in theaters March 15th. Go watch it. Don't watch it at night. I mean, it's got already over 8 million views. It's very scary. I don't like it.
Yeah, that I saw the trailer, and the first thing I thought of was doppelgangers. Like, the theory, like, not the theory, but people think that a doppelganger is someone who looks exactly like you, but it's like the evil, you know, evil twin syndrome. So it's a doppelganger, and supposedly everybody has one. And I'm wondering if that's what this movie's kind of based on.
That's terrifying. I don't, Yeah, it's scary. I know, because that's what the premise. Yeah, the premise of the movie is that, you know, they're evil twins or whatever. The evil replicas of that family are like falling around and trying to kill them, which sounds unbelievably terrifying.
Yeah, and I was looking at the trailer, and I'm like, is this going to be a thriller? Is it going to be just pure horror, like a slasher film? Is it supernatural, or it could be aliens? I don't know. They just didn't give me enough. But it piqued my interest, and I have to see this movie.
Really? Man, I guess I'd like to see it. It just really scares me because I'm not very good at scary movies.
You can hold my hand.
Yeah, no, let's watch it. I'll be in Chicago in March. We can watch it together. Actually, right around when it comes out, March 15th.
Boom. It's a date.
Wow.
We're going to go to one of those with the dinner and movies, and we'll get some beer watch it.
See, I can't. Okay, I'll get a cup of Joe because I feel like if I have beer in a movie, I'm just going to fall asleep. Well, maybe not with this one, but.
You're going to need to be calm. You're going to have to be calm for this. Maybe just one. We'll share it.
Great. Okay, yeah, you're right. Got to stay calm. Can't be over-caffeinated.
All right, Justin, thank you so much for joining me, man. I appreciate you being here.
Hey, you're welcome. Thanks for having me.
This has been the Mason Vera Payne Show. Thanks for listening. Can't wait to hear more? Head to WGNradio.com for exclusive content by Mason. Also, follow Mason on Facebook and Twitter @MasonVeraPayne, that's all one word, and don't forget to share the show with your friends.